Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Oslin with my guest, Roy Finden. And one of my favorite programs you did was called High School Bowl.
High School Bowl, sure, yeah.
I want to hear just a little bit of a clip of that. Let's listen to that, James.
Channel 5, KSTP-TV, St. Paul, Minneapolis.
Here's the kickoff toss-up question in this morning's High School Bowl. What do we call the colored portion of a vertebrate's eye?
Saucer, a dinot.
The iris.
That's right, for 10 points.
Join outstanding scholars from Twin Cities and suburban area schools as they match wits on this week's High School Bowl, sponsored in part by Ashland Oil. And now, your quizmaster, Roy Finden.
Good morning and welcome to the High School Bowl. Nothing like a little stimulation of the mind on an Aprilish morning. This morning we're at quarterfinal time. We've got communities that are adjacent to each other competing. Southwest, the southwest section of Minneapolis, and Edina East, a suburb of Minneapolis. They're right across the line, and they'll be answering the questions next on today's High School Bowl.
Quizmaster, I like that.
It's Quizmaster. It's one of those programs I get tons of, that and Bowling for Dollars, I get tons of emails asking, can you just play my tape that I was on this week? 29, 30 years ago.
Sure.
If I had the library, I'd do it.
Oh, sure. Oh, gosh, yes.
But that was the era where a lot of those tapes were bulk erased and probably used over and over again.
Sure.
Fortunate to have one, which you gave me. Thank you for that.
Sure.
TCmedianow.com if you want to watch the whole thing. You can learn a lot.
It was a fun program to do.
How many years was that on?
Oh, gosh. Jim Hutton was the quizmaster before me. And I don't know how many years he had done it, several. I suppose 10 or 12 years altogether, I think.
Yeah, that's a long time. It's a long time for a run-up program.
Did you retain a lot of information from the questions that you asked, or was it you spoke the question and sort of moved on?
Let me do this. Let me give you a 10-point toss-up.
Oh, no.
The two of you.
This is not going to end well.
Here we go. Which is correct? The whites of eggs are yellow or the whites of eggs is yellow? Come on.
The whites of eggs is yellow.
I don't know.
I'm sorry. The whites of eggs are white. It's the yolks that are
yellow. Oh, you.
I'm doing a color test on that.
Couldn't resist.
Who's in Grant's tomb?
Couldn't resist.
That's great there, Roy. Thank you for making us feel also intelligent this morning. No, it's a great show. And so you left Channel 5 around 1980. And you came strictly back to training or teaching. I want to kill a couple names: Rod Grams, Tom Bernard, John Hines. These are all guys you taught.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Does anyone, these names are brought up, when you were teaching them, did you think that, okay, these guys are going to make it? Or did you think, well, you might want to find a different position?
No, of course. John will always recall the day that he says that I said to him, have you thought of doing another industry?
Right.
Neither of us remembers exactly what exactly he had done to provoke that suggestion from me. But he always brings that up and said, look, Roy, it came out all right. And sure enough.
Well, he was one of the youngest morning DJs in history. I think he was about 23, 24 years old when he was at 1500 in the mornings.
For many years.
That's right. And then Twin Cities Today. And he's always found a job. He's been working for a long time, one of the survivors in the industry.
Well, he does the work. He did television for a while. He did that morning television program.
Twin Cities Today.
On Channel 5. And now over at WCCO, that's as good as it gets.
Right. And then, again, former Senator Rod Grams was at Channel 9 for a long time. And
sure.
Again, he had his time on TV. And Tom Bernard, I'm trying to think of anyone else that comes to mind. I remember when I toured Brown one time, there was a whole list of people that they have in the lobby of the alumni that we should know. Mm-hmm. But you went to CARE. And let's talk about that a little bit. Were you seeking out another TV job, or did they seek you out?
They called me to do the morning program a couple of days a week, and so I did. That was easier. At the earliest times that I did the weather at Channel 5, I did it all.
Mm-hmm.
I came in and collected the information, decided what I was going to use, and then just did the program. All by all, produced it and aired it. When the meteorologists arrived, they put together all that information, and so I just had to come in and
take the charts and take the words
and say them. And that was true at Channel 11 as well. There was a meteorologist there always who produced it all, decided what graphics they were going to be and in what order they were going to be. And so all I had to do was just remember what the order was. And
no teleprompters, too, right? You weren't using teleprompters at 5.
No.
You were all through script and through memory.
Yes.
And so how did you recall all those numbers on the weather map when you were writing them in?
I don't suppose it's a secret. All of that information was put on with a small China marker on the board. So I can see it, but the camera didn't pick it up.
The illusion
of the
mind.
Trick of the trade.
Well, yes, I suppose.
But in 1986, when you go to CARE, there was no more markers, no more chalk. It was all computerized. And they had teleprompters, too, at 11, right?
Yes, I didn't use it. Did not use it. I just had a big sheet of paper with the order of the graphics.
Let's flash back in 1986 and listen to a little bit of the CARE 11.
Guten Morgen. Wir sind die Deutschklasse von Taunton High School.
Guten Morgen, 11 Country.
Now, the Twin Cities' fastest-growing television news, News 11 Sunrise, with John Bachman, Amy Powell, Steve Carroll on sports, and the weather with Roy Finden.
Good morning to you. Welcome to Sunrise. We've reached the week's end, Friday, April 17th.
Good Friday indeed. And I like that opening this morning from Taunton High School that was on our open there.
Yeah, what did
we
say?
The German class.
That was a German class?
Yes, yes.
How did you know?
Well, because I was there. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known.
Impressive.
Yeah. Nice group.
Good. Roy Finden is a pretty good guy, too. He's with us.
Good morning.
How's the weather? Hi.
May I take that word, impressive? I'm making plans for the day, and on my log I have afternoon nap on the porch. Wait till you see the July-like weather that we have in store today. It's going to be just fine.
Sounds great.
More details later. Thank you, Roy. Topping sunrise this morning, though.
What a great preview of the day.
Yeah, that was very different to do in that it was an hour program, and then I appeared 4 different times. And so that was different.
Was it, not to say the word easier, but was it compared to, you know, 10 years prior in doing weather, was it a little bit more comfortable to do weather at 11 with the technology and with the what they had behind it?
Not especially for me. I still enjoy the liveness of somebody with a big marker. And I love all of the graphics, but I still watch Barry Zivan's tapes, and I love him with his big marker, and he's explaining clearly what's happening. When he's finished, it is not a finished industrial product, scientific product, because everything that he has put on has come on top of itself and around itself. But as he's putting it down, it makes perfect clarity. Here is this front is coming here, and here's the temperature in Bird Island.
That's right, Bird Island. Everyone knew the temperature of Bird Island for a long time.
Yes.
Roy Finden, about CARE and John Bachman, who was just retired,
yes,
actually, from WHO-TV,
yes,
after many years. A story you told me, which I do enjoy, you went to Des Moines, Iowa.
Yes.
You went to WHO-TV, where John Bachman, who was an anchor at Channel 11, also worked at Channel 5 for a long time. You asked,
Is John Bachman still your news, still reading your news?
And they didn't like that question.
The person that let me in, the receptionist, just kind of raised up in her chair and said, "John Bachman is our anchor." I appreciate that. She's.
And he was your intern, or was he? What was he? Your floor director at Channel 5?
He was working almost in several different places. He did some sports. One day when I was not available for some reason, and I'm not sure whether it was behind Barry or Johnny Morris, There was nobody to do the weather, and so John volunteered to do it. And he always said that's the hardest television he'd ever done was trying to do the weather.
Well, he didn't have the science down of the tracing the marker probably, and probably didn't. There's a lot going on with that weather reporting. Probably those are the days you had to write everything down on all those blocks, and you had to turn that, like the Wheel of Fortune block.
Sure.
You had to turn around.
Yeah.
And to give you a visual, who's listening here, there was a Chiron. That was the device you typed in the weather forecast and saw it, nice print. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like comparing maybe a handwritten letter to a word processed letter old days.
Yes, exactly right. Yes, we actually did have on this board that actually printed out the day's forecast. And I do recall this was a cube that turned. It was part of the set. On one side was the map of the three states that included Bird Island. And then on another side was the forecast. And then on the other, on a third side was the current conditions. And one night I remember, and I don't remember how or why, I got my thumb caught in the space as it went turning around, and I didn't pay much attention to it, but when it was over and I looked down, I said, my thumb was bleeding. I said, well, my goodness, I injured myself doing the television weather in the big cube.
See, I don't know if the UPS guy would injure his thumb, you know, if they're a good one, they may not do that.
You're taking all these risks.
That's a risky job. I want to hear, actually, this is a promotion from Brown College that aired in 1984.
The forecast for July is traditionally sunny and hot, traditionally a vacation from school, but there's nothing traditional about computer information systems and business management. That's why at Brown Institute in Minneapolis, we schedule classes to start in July. To get a head start on your future, call Brown now for information on a July class. Call 721-2481. 721-2481. At Brown Institute, the only thing traditional is the commitment to excellence. National Education Center, Brown Institute campus.
There you go.
Sure enough.
Retired in 2001. Are you part of Brown in any capacity right now?
I'm not, no.
You're not. But you've been doing a lot. You're not retired. You're still doing a lot of interesting stuff.
Well, I'm spending a couple of days a week leading tours of the State Capitol Building in St. Paul.
Tell me about that.
Well, it's fascinating. Well, it's a fascinating place. But leading groups of frequently school children through the building, and they are frequently awed by the building. And so that's just great fun. I just get a lot of energy from them. During the month of May, we'll have in the neighborhood of 20,000 fifth graders come through the building.
That's a lot of energy.
It's a lot of fifth graders, and some of the rooms, the governor's reception room is a particularly elegant space, and they will often exclaim as they walk through the door and they see it. And the language changes year to year. A couple of years ago, the popular word, they would come through the door and say, cool.
Sure.
And then the year after that, they would come through the door and say, awesome. And then, was it last year or the year before, one of the fifth graders came through the door and just said, dude.
Well, there you go.
And I assume that's good, but I don't.
Has sick been said? Like, oh, sick.
Oh, sure. That's
no,
another one, too.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea what fifth graders are saying.
Oh, these kids
today. I need to go on a tour, I think, of the Capitol with the fifth graders.
I can arrange that.
Well, I'll get back to you on that one.
Okay.
So besides fifth graders, can anyone go and take a tour? And
oh, sure,
how,
yeah.
How can someone get a tour from Roy Findon?
Well, that's just luck, because the schedule changes day to day. And time of day to time of day. But there's a tour every hour on the hour from 10 to 2, Monday through Saturday. Just walk right in.
And costs anything?
No. The Minnesota Historical Society operates the tours. They are always anxious to have a donation if someone wants to make a donation. But no, it takes about 45 minutes.
We had Danny Henry from the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting on last week, and
yes,
there's a lot of great things in this town you can do on Saturday on a Saturday afternoon. You can go to the Pavic Museum and
yes,
St. Louis Park, and go to the Capitol, and the Pavic Museum charges a very small amount to go tour the great institution with the radios and TV broadcasting history, and of course the Capitol. You were inducted to the Hall of Fame in 2002. You were one of the first, the second year that the Hall of Fame was in progress here in the Twin Cities. Tell me, I mean, I know you don't do this for honors awards, but how was that to be inducted to the Hall of Fame?
Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, my goodness. And a big surprise when I got the letters. I don't think I even knew about the Hall of Fame. And was very, very pleased. And the evening was wonderful. Former Governor Arnie Carlson was the MC, and he handed me my plaque. I have a picture of that, of course. And, what is better than a room full of broadcasters? I mean, there's nothing better than a room
full of broadcasters. We got a room full of broadcasters right now.
It's true. I rest my case.
We're great company.
There you are.
We don't know about egg yolks, but, I mean, we might be able to tell you how to...
I'm a little bitter about that still.
The cough button and the audio board we can probably help you with. So you got your plaque, and it's a great institution, and it's a great event, and it's going to be this September, actually.
Yes.
I was trying to probe Danny and where it's going to be, and they're determining where the location's going to be. It's going to be a good event, though. But there's some great names there, you know, Steve Cannon and Franklin Hobbs, some great broadcast names, and your name's part of it. Stan Turner, our 12 o'clock host, is also part of the Hall of Fame. And I'm guessing there's a few of your students that are in the Hall of Fame right now, too.
Yes, I'm sure that's true. There are about, altogether, about 30 Brown graduates. And I'm not sure how many of them I could name.
I had the list last week, and I should have brought it with me. We could have read some names. But it's a very impressive list. And it's larger than I thought it was. I think they did about 10 a year. And they didn't do one this year, but they're going to do one next year.
Yeah.
It's a pretty large roster now.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
You know, both the Twin Cities and outstate. And I encourage people to nominate someone. Go to museumofbroadcasting.org. So when you do your Capitol tours, do you get a lot of people that recognize you from your TV days or from students?
Occasionally someone does. Not frequently.
The fifth graders might not, but
no, I guess not.
But there might be some. Well, they might be on the web watching things on tcmedianow.com.
There,
but I would imagine so. But that's what James is doing in there right now. Actually, I think he's on the website. You must get some people remember you and want to talk about weather, talk about broadcasting.
They hear the voice and like, hey, wait a second, that sounds familiar.
Yes, once in a while, that's always fun to be recognized and chat briefly about television and or the weather. Sure.
It's a high degree of responsibility. Let's play, I want to play one more clip. This is from also 1980, and this is with Ron Majors.
Remained very dry today.
Yes, it did. I'd like to point out that we have a brand new weather term to initiate tonight. It's a Feltkin blockage.
Feltkin blockage.
And that is the phenomenon which leaves the same pattern in the upper airs the entire time that Dennis leaves. So when he's back from vacation, he's got the same upper air pattern as when he left. And that's true. It's been about 10 days. Same stuff going on up aloft.
That's right. He's coming back tomorrow, then.
He'll be back.
Will there be a change tomorrow?
Probably not.
Oh.
The present temperature is, it's never that simple. 60 degrees. The dew point is 33. Relative humidity is 36%. The wind is from the northeast at 14. The pressure is rising.
So a new term, Feltkin blockage. Yes. I like that.
And I'm reminded when we hear the dew point, that arrived with Dr. Walt Lyons. I remember quite clearly the first day Dr. Walt was in the studio, I was doing the 6 o'clock weather, and he was just getting acquainted. And the program was over, and we went over and chattered, and he said, "You don't use the dew point, huh?" And I said, "No."
Now, at least you didn't say, "What is a dew point?"
No, I could have. But you said, no, okay. And so now we have the dew point. And we hope that people appreciate the value of the dew point. And in those days, it was so unusual that we actually had to have a little ready reckoner to take the humidity and the temperature to calculate what the dew point was. Today, of course, the hourly from Weather Service includes the dew point.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't at that time. Actually, I had to take the information from the aviation weather wire, to have the dew point.
See, and I'll do respect as a viewer. I know we would say, well, why do we need to know the dew point?
Oh, I'll explain it. In terms of comfort, as a comfort index, your comfort in the summer is dependent upon the amount of water vapor in the air.
Right.
So it's the actual quantity. So it determines how quickly your body cools itself via evaporation. So if you want to know the quantity of water vapor in the air, the relative humidity is of no value. If I ask you how much gas you had in your car, and you said half a tank, mm-hmm. do I have any idea how much gas you have? No, I don't know what your tank is. I don't even know what kind of a car you have. That's relative humidity. If I ask you how much gasoline you had in your car and you said 12 gallons, that's precise.
I see.
Because that's what the dew point is. The dew point is a finite measure of the water vapor in the air.
Dr. Walt brought a lot of those terms to KSTP and to broadcasting this point forward. Roy, thank you for being on today. It's been great talking
about... What, are we finished? Oh, for heaven's sakes.
We can do this for... We'll do part two sometime soon. This is great. No,
it's been a pleasure.
Roy Findon, Capitol Tours. Go say hi to Roy and take a tour of the Capitol. It's a great tour. Museum of Broadcasting to see Roy's biography and Roy's video, which we didn't get to the weather snowball fight today. We'll do that next time.
All right.
This is Flashback Twin Cities. I am Tom Osmond on KLBB Club 1220.